Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Route 6A, Orleans, Cape Cod. On the web at birdwatchersgeneralstore.com.
Good morning. Welcome to our show number 567. And if you're marking the day, happy Easter. We'd like to start this morning's show with a big thank you to our friends out in the great state of Nebraska and the cities of Kearney, Grand Island, Hastings, and McCook, and the folks at the Nebraska Tourism Department for their hospitality, as we joined a bunch of talented writers from all over the U.S. and Canada on a bird-focused tour of Nebraska's Central Platte River and Frontier Trails region, checking out greater prairie chickens doing their mating dances and taking in the spectacle of hundreds of thousands of sandhill cranes roosting on the sandbars of the Platte River and feeding in the nearby cornfields. Really a sight not to be forgotten. Meanwhile, back here in the Northeast, the spring peepers are back, those tiny fingernail-sized frogs providing some sweet springtime sounds as they begin their courtship chorus.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Here are some of the stories and videos we have for you on our Facebook page this week. You can do an online search if you're not a Facebook follower, by the way. Here is one. How some folks in southern Israel are saving birds by staging a bird race event called Champions of the Flyway. 10 fun facts about house sparrows. Well, did you know, for example, that they're good swimmers? And a possibly somewhat related to house sparrow story, did you know that city birds are smarter than country birds? Well, at least some researchers say so, and we have a link to the story. Oh, and one other thing, our friend Vincent from down there in East Windsor, New Jersey, sent us some amazing pictures of decorated eggs for Easter or maybe any other time. They're kind of crazy, wild-looking things right there on our Facebook page. And a reminder again, you can find those stories, except for Vincent's pictures, through an online search if you're not a Facebook follower. Well, most birds build nests, but how do they know how to do it? Well, observing other birds seems to be involved, but there's a twist to this, at least as far as zebra finches are concerned. We explained it all on our latest blog, easily found right on our website, talkinbirds.com, with no G in talkin. That's talkinbirds.com. We don't usually talk about the presidential candidates here on our show, but let's face it, there's a lot of buzz about Bernie's bird, the songbird that landed on Bernie Sanders' lectern as he addressed a crowd in Portland, Oregon yesterday. Folks are caucusing about the bird's ID. Maybe it was Friday, but so far candidates include female house finch, which seems to be the leading contender, orange-crowned warbler, and lesser goldfinch. We'll report back when all the votes are in. It's Charlotte's weblog time. Our Charlotte Wasilik is exploring the birds of Europe. Let's see how she is doing.
Good morning, Charlotte. How's the birding in Deutschland?
Good morning, Ray. After being in Germany for 3 weeks and a trip down to Italy, I've seen more than 80 species of birds, including white storks, yellowhammers, black redstarts, skylarks, gray wagtails, an eagle owl sitting on its nest, and red kites, just to name a few. I still have a week left in Germany, so maybe I can see 100 species before I leave. Registration is now open for the 2016 Cape May Spring Festival, which runs from May 19th to the 22nd. The festival is located in a prime shorebird and songbird migration route in Cape May, New Jersey. There are pelagic trips, birding walks, and workshops led by celebrated birders and authors. The festival fills up very quickly, so be sure to register for the activities you want to attend soon. Visit the New Jersey Audubon website to find all the details. That's all for this week, Ray, and I'll talk to you next time. Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen, Charlotte, and we'll be looking for you on your blog at prairiebirder.com.
Still to come on our show today, ever hear of Project Nest Watch? Well, the Cornell Lab of Ornithology's Robin Bailey will tell us all about it when she joins us as our special guest here in just a few minutes. Meanwhile, do you need a new bird feeder? We may be able to help since we'll give away another beautiful feeder from Droll Yankees this morning in our Mystery Bird Contest. Also this morning, our man Mike O'Connor from Cape Cod's Bird Watchers General Store will tell us about some of the more unusual sounds of spring. And in just a moment, we'll meet a bird that we were lucky enough to see out on the Harlan Reservoir in south-central Nebraska this past week. The American white pelican is today's featured feathered friend. Talkin' Birds is made possible in part by Celestron, a leading optics company offering binoculars and spotting scopes for birders of all levels. Celestron is dedicated to education and bird conservation and proudly supports many nonprofit organizations that share the same commitment. Celestron says, "We care about birds and nature in our backyard as well as yours." Enhance your view with Celestron. Visit Celestron.com and discover more. Not a squadron of southbound pelicans, but feel a lift of prairie breeze over Clandeboy, and they sense at once that here is a landing in the geological past, a refuge from that most relentless of aggressors, the future. With queer antediluvian grunts, they set wing, descending in majestic spirals to the welcoming wastes of a bygone age. Those were the words of the great ecologist, forester, and environmentalist Aldo Leopold from his famous book, A Sand County Almanac and Sketches Here and There, writing about the beautiful American white pelican. We think of pelicans diving for fish, as the brown pelican does, but the American white pelican instead dips its head underwater and scoops up fish that way. They also form fishing parties in which several birds will form a circle to drive fish into a small area and then dip in and fill their bill pouch with water and fish. That pouched bill, by the way, can hold 3 gallons. After the fish are caught, the bill is pointed downward to let the water drain out. Then the bill is raised and the fish are swallowed. The American white pelican winters along both U.S. coasts, sometimes ranging as far as northern New England. And although we may think of this bird as subtropical and coastal, it actually breeds on inland lakes throughout the northern Great Plains and mountain west of the U.S. and well up into west central Canada. The American white pelican, much bigger than the brown pelican, is one of the largest birds in North America, with a wingspan of over 9 feet. Now, those aren't your neighbor's chihuahuas barking. Those are American white pelican nestlings, heard with some grunting grown-ups on their nesting grounds. By the way, a group of pelicans is referred to by a lot of different names, some of them quite descriptive, including a brief of pelicans, a pod, a pouch of pelicans, a scoop, or as we heard from Aldo Leopold, a squadron. A squadron of pelicans. The American white pelican, today's Talkin' Birds featured feathered friend. Thanks again for being with us, and a correction on our show number, it's number 568 today. We hope you'll follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Talkin' Birds, and we always love to hear from you by email. ray@talkinbirds.com is the address. Robin Bailey is the project leader for Cornell Lab of Ornithology's Project Nest Watch, and she joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Ray. How are you?
I'm well, and happy Easter.
Yeah, and to you too.
Thank you so much. Well, Robin, Project Nest Watch, what is it? Why is it important?
Yeah, so Nest Watch is it's a national citizen science project that invites anyone who finds a nest anywhere of any species to report the details of that nest to the project. And we're based out of the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. The lab has been tracking nesting birds for more than 50 years using people who are interested in birds. You might call them citizen scientists or volunteer observers, but they're very important to helping us study nesting birds across their range. And so we are looking for data on species, where it's nesting, the number of eggs and young, and all that sort of information.
So for 50 years, you've been doing some variation of this, but the NestWatch program itself, that's what, something fairly new.
Yes, yeah, so that's the more digital, online, recent version of the project. But yes, the project actually was called the Nest Record Card Program and started in the 1960s. So it's changed form and its name a couple of times, but NestWatch is the current home of the project.
And you use that term, or one of the terms you use is citizen science or citizen scientists. And if I'm not mistaken, it wasn't that many years ago that, you know, citizens were maybe all that welcomed by scientists to contribute information. But that has really changed, and that's been really important, hasn't it?
It has really changed, yes. I think although we haven't maybe called it citizen science until recently, that they've actually been doing this kind of work for a long time. They might have been called volunteer observers or nest monitors. In some form, we've actually been using these data for quite a long time. And it is really important because scientists can't be everywhere. And I think that it is changing because we're starting to recognize that the best way to study birds wherever they are is to have volunteer observers report their data.
And the data is important to, we know about, the great backyard bird count and other counts that are done, the Christmas mm-hmm. bird count. And how does the NestWatch sort of tie in with all of that?
That's a great question. NestWatch is a key piece of that puzzle. So other projects might be counting the number of birds or where they're located, but abundance can tell us how many birds there are. NestWatch actually gets at whether or not the birds are being successful where they're found. So if we know that a population is declining, we don't necessarily know why it's declining. So it's important to have data on the nesting success so we can know if that is the reason that birds are on the decline or if they're increasing. We just need that key information about how they're doing so we can understand why the numbers that we count for our Great Backyard Bird Count or Project Feeder Watch or other projects, it can inform those abundance data. So, yeah, it's good to know why things are happening.
Mm-hmm. And people can take part in this and become, I think the phrase is a certified nest watcher, which sounds like it might be a little complicated, but it isn't really all that complicated to do, is it?
No, it's actually pretty easy. Being a certified nest watcher just means that you've logged into the site and you've read a standard protocol. It's important to have a protocol so that we know that data are being collected in a similar way from people all over the country. And we also present people with a code of conduct, which you can take a little quiz and become certified. You get a little certificate that says you're certified. But all that really means is that you've reviewed a code of conduct and you understand about the best practices for visiting a nest. There are some do's and don'ts there when you want to check a bird's nest.
Well, I took the quiz so I can verify that it's not too hard.
Right.
Once you've read the information that accompanies it, you're pretty golden in taking that test. And I guess we should emphasize we're collecting data and not collecting eggs in this process.
Absolutely. Yeah, you might collect Easter eggs today, but not actual bird eggs. Yep. That's one of the don'ts of NestWatch is, you know, we don't handle eggs or young because they're very fragile.
And there are some notes on there, your do's and don'ts, as you were indicating, to see how much time you spend near a nest and so on. It's pretty simple stuff, but obviously lots of great data is connected with that. There are some warnings there, too. What are some of the warnings to people?
Well, we ask people to keep it quick. So if you keep your nest check under a minute, you can avoid disturbing the parents who might be trying to return and incubate their eggs or feed their young. You just don't want to keep them away from their nest for very long. So mm-hmm. less than a minute is fine. It's also not necessary to go every single day and collect data. For our purposes, every 3 to 5 days is okay, or just once a week if that's if that's what you want to do. But it's really not necessary to go every day, and you might be causing a little more disturbance than would be necessary.
Okay, and you've also given a couple of quiz answers there when you just talked about that.
Yeah, we're very transparent with our quiz answers. We want you to understand.
Right. Well, you're interested in all species, I think, in terms of the data collected. Are there certain species that you're particularly interested in, though?
All species are welcome, but what we specialize in, actually, is studying common birds, believe it or not. Robins, chickadees, bluebirds, finches, things that are common and right outside your back door are actually really great indicators of environmental change. So the more abundant it is, actually, the easier it is to study. And those things, if we can keep tabs on what the common birds are doing, then that will help alert us to any potential issues with species that are more sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
They're easy to find. Chickadees, bluebirds, and wrens will nest in nest boxes, which make it particularly easy to attract them and study them. And birds like robins and house finches are easily associated and found near human habitations, so they're also pretty easy to find and fun to watch, too.
Can you give a quick description, Robin, if it's possible, of what kind of environmental changes you've seen in the process of the Nest Watch?
Yeah, so Nest Watch data have been used to study all kinds of things. One of the major things that scientists are looking at right now is early spring laying dates.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the possibility that climate change is advancing the dates that birds are starting to nest every spring. And we've seen that although there's some ups and downs and variation, it does look like some species are starting to nest a little bit earlier than they did in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that might be because their food sources, which are insects for the most part, are starting to hatch out and emerge earlier.
Mm-hmm. Earlier in the season. So for those who want to take part, Robin, how do they find a pretty easy to remember website, I believe?
Yep, it's just nestwatch.org.
Nestwatch.org. Before you go, Robin, I just have to ask you about your name. I know lots of people have asked you this before, but it's one of those have to ask questions whether, you know, I see people with bird names and wonder if that influenced your becoming a birder.
It is very common to find birders with bird names, robins and phoebes and larks. But my name, I was actually named after my dad. But the funny thing about it is I didn't know a thing about birds until I went to college and took this introduction to ornithology class just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was a life-changing class, of course, but the funny thing is that I was out monitoring birds as part of this project in the class, and we had to keep a list. And the very first bird that I saw on the campus that I had to look it up in a book was the American robin.
And you had to look it up. All right.
I did.
I love that. Robin Bailey is the project leader for Cornell Lab of Ornithology's Nest Watch. Robin, thank you so much for being with us, and good luck with all the research.
Yes, thank you, Ray.
Nestwatch.org, again, is the web address so you can take part and become a certified nest watcher and contribute to the actual important science going on there. Up next, it's our mystery bird contest in just 1 minute.
Did you know that winter is when backyard birds need our help the most? Birds' energy demands are huge in the cold weather, and natural food sources are scarce, especially during snow and ice storms. Here's an idea. As you're stocking up on winter supplies for yourself, pick up a feeder and wild bird food for your backyard songbirds. Look for the Audubon Park brand, a top choice among bird lovers for more than 40 years. This season, try the brand's new songbird selections with NutriThrive line, which is enhanced with vitamins, minerals, and essential fatty acids that birds need but that have become scarce in the natural world. Like Audubon Park Bird Food on Facebook to join the conversation about feeding the birds. Audubon Park's products are made in the USA and meet the highest quality and safety standards in the industry. And Audubon Park's products are easy to find at your supermarket, lawn and garden store, farm and feed market, and online retailers. For more information, visit AudubonPark.com. That's AudubonPark.com. Get some for your backyard birds today. Audubon Park Wild Bird Food.
Well, you're eligible to win on our Mystery Bird Contest if you haven't been a winner here on Talkin' Birds in the past 6 months. And if you're not hearing our Sunday morning show live and think you're unable to enter our contest, well, think again, because you can hear our show live every week no matter where you are. Just go to talkinbirds.com to see how to do it, and it is very easy. 781-837-4900 is the number to call. We ask you to call as soon as you possibly can so we have time for your call in our contest. 781-837-4900 is the number to call. Our prize this morning is the brand new feeder from Droll Yankees. It's called Cute. It's the cutest little chickadee feeder. It allows you to manage the size of visiting birds with a height-adjustable dome. It holds a cup of sunflower seed or mixed seed fruit or mealworms, and it comes complete with a lifetime warranty against squirrel damage. That's our prize. 781-837-4900 is our number. Here is our mystery bird. You know this one. By the way, this is another bird we saw and heard in some pretty good numbers out in Nebraska this past week. Our mystery bird is a shore bird that you can find without going to the shore. It's brownish tan on top and white below. The white chest is barred with two black bands, and the brown face is marked with black and white patches. It has a large round head, large eyes, and a short bill. Our bird forages on the ground for earthworms, snails and crayfish and grasshoppers and beetles and aquatic insect larvae. That's our bird. What do you think it is? Tell us what it is or take a guess, because no correct answer means a drawing will determine our winner. Could be you, even if your answer is not exactly correct or anywhere close. 781-837-4900 is the number. 781-837-4900. Meanwhile, we'll check in with Mike O'Connor from the Cape Cod Bird Watchers General Store and our live Let's Ask Mike segment in just 1 minute.
Public ferry service to the Boston Harbor Islands has ended for the season, but you can still visit the beautiful Boston Harbor Islands peninsulas open year-round. World's End in Hingham, Deer Island in Winthrop, Webb Memorial Park in Weymouth, and Nut Island in Quincy. They're connected to the mainland and accessible by car, offering stunning views of Boston Harbor and its islands, plus birding, hiking, biking, and cross-country skiing. Enjoy your national park all year long. For more information, please visit bostonharborislands.org.
Here on Talking Birds Now, a message from our friends at Ducks Unlimited.
Since 1937, Ducks Unlimited has been a world leader in wetlands conservation, ensuring safe passage for nature's most beautiful creations, protection against flooding, and sanctuary for the human soul. If we don't want to grow old in a world without wild places, we must speak up. We must step up, so that we may fill the skies for generations to come.
Let's see if we'll have to have the music first here. There we go. Let's ask Mike music to give him a proper introduction there from the Cape Cod Birdwatchers General Store. Are you there, Mike?
I'm here.
All right.
I got nervous there for a minute.
I kind of changed the name of your store. I don't know why I keep calling it the Cape Cod Birdwatchers General Store, because there aren't any other ones.
No.
I don't think, right?
That's all right. It gives me some geographical reference.
Yeah, and I know that if someone goes to your website and looks for another store, you have a button right on the website for that.
It tells you all the other stores they need to visit.
Yeah, okay.
Which is none.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> Well, Mike, the sweet sounds of spring, woodpeckers banging on the side of your house, cardinals pecking at your windows. These are some of the more unusual sounds of spring. Didn't you say you were just hearing some this morning, some woodpeckers?
Yeah, this morning, because, you know, before the show, I do like a 20-mile run every day.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Just 20?
Well, before the show. So
before the show.
Back.
Okay, the long one is afterwards.
Well, I'll continue later.
Yeah.
But I could hear them going, and I know most people love spring. They get the dawn chorus, they get the birds singing, and it's wonderful, but there's a bird that not everybody's excited about, and that's the woodpeckers, because woodpeckers really don't sing like the songbirds. When they want to announce their territory, they find something hollow or something that resonates, and they drum on it and makes a loud sound, and that's how they attract a mate and announce their territory. But sometimes they do it on buildings or people's homes, and they're not so excited about it. Now, if you're lucky and they drum on your gutter, which is very common, or chimney cap, or in the old days, antenna, now it's probably a satellite dish or something like that. And that's a little bit annoying, but I always advise my customers, if they're doing it on that, just live with it, because you don't want them to jump off the gutter and then go maybe to the trim boards on your house, because those are also hollow underneath, and they make a lot of sound, and then they start to do damage. And then people aren't so happy about it. I don't get it. But they're doing, they start to drill holes and do damage on there, and then they want to know how to fix it. And, you know, in the past, we've tried it like everything else, and everybody's in love with plastic owls. They're obsessed with plastic owls. We sell them because we can't talk people out of them because that's how people were growing up. But they really don't work. We've tried rubber snakes. We've tried all kinds of things. And it seems like this time of year, when it's territorial, this very inexpensive Mylar scare tape, you can buy it at any garden center or most garden centers because it's developed. It's very shiny, and gardeners love it because it helps keep the birds away from their crops or their plantings that they're putting out. And instead of putting it on your garden, you put it on the area where the woodpeckers are coming, and you just tack it up, and it hangs down little, you know, like put it in strips maybe 3 feet long and maybe about, I don't know, 4 or 5 feet wide, and it hangs down like beaded curtains and blows in the wind, and it's been the most effective and the least expensive thing. Of course, your house looks like a float in the Mardi Gras parade, but still, you know, it does the job. And of all the things that we've tried, that has worked the best. Mm-hmm. If there are holes, you should patch them because holes are attractive, you know, like a magnet to woodpecker. They think, hey, that guy's found something, let's go investigate it. Mm-hmm. But so putty up the holes or fill them up temporarily, even with just tacking up some cardboard, mm-hmm. and then put this stuff up. And hopefully, and usually, the birds will move on and hopefully to your neighbor's house, but you don't care about that.
Yeah, you can then hear them off in the distance.
Yeah, you can enjoy them.
Nice kind of thing like that. All right, Mike, thanks for the tips, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds awesome, Ray. We'll see you.
All right. Thanks for being with us here on our show. Number, it's 568, and we're back here to the Mystery Bird Contest, trying to identify this mystery bird here. Somebody's going to get this one quick, I think. A shorebird you can find without going to the shore. Brownish tan on top and white below. The white chest is barred with two black bands. The brown face marked with black and white patches. A large round head, large eyes, and a short bill. Our bird forages on the ground for earthworms and snails and crayfish, grasshoppers and beetles, and aquatic insect larvae. 781-837-4900 is the number to call. 781-837-4900. And a beautiful prize, the brand new Droll Yankees Cute, the cutest little chickadee feeder. 781-837-4900 is the number to call. And Larry, where are we going? Is it who are we going to first here? We're going to Bill in somewhere in North Carolina. Am I have that right? We need some new markers for these marker boards words here. I think we have Bill somewhere in North Carolina. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Good
That's
morning.
Oriental North Carolina.
Oriental North Carolina. Good to hear from you, Bill. And you heard the description of our mystery bird. What would you say it is, Bill?
I believe it to be a killdeer.
A killdeer. You got it. That was a pretty easy one, wasn't it, Bill?
It sure was.
We like to throw an easy one in there once in a while. The killdeer, which kind of says its own name, so it gives its own clue there, as a matter of fact. This is a bird that's famous for its broken wing display. Other birds do this too, but somehow the killdeer is most associated with this. If a predator comes near their nest, they'll pretend their wing is broken and kind of stumble away from the nest. The predator will follow, and then pretty soon they forget where the nest is, and then the killdeer adult will fly away. Pretty good system, I think.
Very good.
Killdeers down your way, Bill?
Yes, a lot of them. We do a Sunday birding loop, and we see those in the fields quite frequently. They have a tendency to nest in very bad spots.
They do. We have some nesting right near our office in Quincy, Mass., kind of right next to the road. So they're not in the most protected areas, it seems.
Yes, I've seen them in parking lots, you know, with a couple stones pulled on either side, and that was it.
Yeah, not a great spot. But great job on that, Bill. If you'll stay on the line, we'll get your address and send you that beautiful Droll Yankees feeder.
Great.
All right,
Thank you.
Out of time. Thanks so much for being with us. Happy Easter if you're celebrating, and we'll see you next week.
The Bird Show, I like that.
Ray Brown's Talking Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Route 6A, Orleans, Cape Cod. On the web at birdwatchersgeneralstore.com. By the Boston Harbor Island Alliance, minutes away. worlds apart. Go to bostonharborislands.org for more information.
Birdland Talking Birds, I love that show!